Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show.
Welcome back. Stuart Rosenthal from the Beacon Newspapers joins me today. Stuart brings us interesting information on everything about everything over 50 years of age. That's everything, folks, not just something. Stuart?
Hey, that's a nice introduction. Hope I can live up to it, Eric.
All right. What everything do you have today?
All right. Well, we'll talk about some money stories today.
Good. Money.
Credit cards. Yeah. Sometimes when people get to retirement age, they say, look, I'm not going to use credit cards anymore. I'm going to pay cash or use a debit card. I'm not going to get myself into debt. Mm-hmm. I have to be careful. Mm-hmm. That is maybe a problem. You really shouldn't overdo that kind of theoretically careful shopping because you need your credit number. You need to have a good credit number in order to get credit, and you never know when you might need it. For example, we have a story about a 70-year-old woman who was so good that she never used her credit card. She could not buy a new car. They would not give her a loan because she had such a bad credit rating because she'd never used a credit card in 10 years. So you gotta be careful about it. Use a credit card for small things and pay it off. Mm. You don't have to get into debt. You don't have to get into trouble. But make sure you use it. And that could be helpful, especially if you're older and looking for housing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for an independent living retirement community or something, they might want to run a credit check on you. If it comes out bad, they might not want to let you in.
Right, right.
And if you want to co-sign a loan on your kid or grandkid for something, you can't do that. If you want to refinance your home and get a better mortgage rate, you can't do that. If you want to get a home equity line of credit, you know, maybe you can't even get that. So you're really boxing yourself in by being too careful.
You're boxing yourself into always paying cash.
Yes.
So as long as you always pay cash and you save enough to buy a car or a house or whatnot,
that's true.
That's not really necessary, but that's the rare exception among people
who
can do that, right?
Yes, right.
Now, if you want to have credit, you need to use a little bit of credit.
That's right. That's right. How it works.
Yeah. Good. What else?
Well, we have some money shorts, and one of them is sort of a scam alert.
These are shorts made out of money?
That's a great idea. How much would you pay for a pair of those?
Depends on whether they're ones or fives.
And if they're actual, you know, they're cargo shorts or they're short shorts, you know, mini skirts, you know,
right.
It's all different.
Well, maybe, you know, if I had George on the back, I don't know. Anyway, that joke was worth about a buck.
Okay. Yeah, right. We'll pass that buck along then. Okay. IRS is, you may have read that the IRS is using some private debt collectors now for the really bad cases. So the point to keep in mind is not that you might be one of those cases, but that scammers are taking advantage of this to call people up and pretend to be an IRS agent who's a debt collector and to say, you owe us money and we're going to come.
I do that all the time and it's very successful.
So you're one of them. No, I bet it is successful because the people who do it really could pull, you know,
it's
drug
horrible.
Over.
Yeah, I mean,
pull
a rug off
all people.
Joking
all
aside.
The time.
Yes,
yeah.
Agreed.
So
yes.
The point is you should know the IRS never contacts you by phone first.
Never.
They will send you a letter first. If once you establish a relationship, you're going back and forth on an issue, they might occasionally give you a call. But normally everything's in writing and has to be in print. So don't fall for that.
Do they ever show up at people's houses?
I don't think that's happened in decades, if at all. You know, you hear about that. You know, but I don't think it happens at all.
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, what happens if you're having an audit, then you bring stuff to them. You know, they don't come to you. You know, so.
Right.
So you might end up being called into an IRS office for something and bring your files with you.
I talked about last week, talked about someone who was buying one of our listings and transferred their money to the settlement company.
Mm-hmm.
Someone had hacked into the email for that buyer and given them a different account number. The money, $130,000, disappeared.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Now, the buyer was covered by insurance. And they were able to get their money back
in
the settlement.
That's great.
Yeah, because what happened was the title company, we don't know for sure, the title company was hacked. And their email was hacked.
It's going to happen more and more. We're going to hear this a lot as we go
verify,
on.
Verify, verify, verify.
Right.
As Ronald Reagan said, trust, but verify.
Yes, to the extent you can.
Yes.
Yes. So another short, just I'll talk about briefly, is online bill paying through your bank. This is just a warning that if you're going to use these online payment services, which are very convenient, save you the stamp, save you time. You do have to understand the definition of when the payment goes through, because some banks will take up to a week to process the payment and get the check out to your people who you owe the money to. So if you don't want to get stuck with, you know, late fees and whatnot, make sure you understand how that works. And also make sure, for your own perspective, you know when the bank pulls the money out of your account. Some banks will do it the day after you try to make the transaction, even if they don't send the check out for a week.
Right.
They're taking your money right now. Mm-hmm. Other banks won't do it until that check from the person you're paying gets cleared.
Got it.
So things to look out for when you're using that online paying service.
Very good feedback. Thank you, Stuart Rosenthal from the Beacon Newspaper. Have a nice day.
You too.
Hey, August 8th. This August the 8th, I have a very special opportunity for you to come hear me speak on how you can go through the process of selling your home for top dollar. So what we just chatted about, things that you need to do. Maybe you've heard the show for a while and you think, I really would like to hear Eric. I know I'm suggesting that you have us come out, and I really do recommend that. But maybe you're not quite ready for that, and I'll accept that. Come listen to me speak. Come hear the presentation that I give you here on the show in an organized fashion that gives you what are the things you can do to make money in your house. How do you interview a realtor? How can you go through right-sizing your property? Things like that. I have the privilege of speaking at Asbury Methodist Village, which is in Gaithersburg, Maryland, on the 8th of August. And I'm going to encourage you to reach out to the Asbury Marketing Department. If you're listening, you think, hey, I'd like to attend that. I want to be a part of that. And that's actually a good day for me. RSVP, they have a limited amount of space. And I mean, it's limited to 100 attendees. And they are blitzing the information out to their audience. So I want to share with you the opportunity if you're interested in attending. There's no cost. They'll give refreshments, and it's always a lovely affair. Beautiful people there. So, and if you want to contact them, call them at 301-216-4110. And Nancy will take your call. Just let her know you heard about it on the show. Nancy Rasavage is her name. Again, that's 301-216-4110. 301-216-4110. Make your RSVP today. Take this opportunity. I look forward to meeting you personally, and we'll also have some fun prizes that we give away at that event. Again, 301-216-4110. Okay, so it's the end of July. February seems like a long ways away. It's 7 months away from now, 7.5 months roughly, to when I would recommend that you go on the market. So let's point ourselves in the direction of getting ready to go on the market. And what are the things that you need to do to prepare yourself to get on the market? Well, the number one thing you need to think about is decluttering. And that I have a solution for. We have a guide called the Right Sizing Guide, how to go through the process of getting rid of your stuff. And if you're having trouble with a spouse who doesn't have the motivation to move and you are so ready to go, this guide will give you insights into how to pick up an item and decide right there and then whether you should keep it or not. There are 5 things you can do with anything you own. Just 5. That's it. Limited. End of story. You can either keep it, which is the easy thing, right? Oh, I'm going to keep that for now. The other is to give it to your children, which sometimes is impossible because they don't want what you have. And then you can sell it, which also can be very difficult, but there are ways to do that. You can donate it and get a tax deduction, or you can simply throw it away. You know, sometimes we throw things away and we're afraid when we do it that we have now given up a part of ourselves, that we've let go of something that's important to unlocking memories of our past. And sometimes this is true. And I'll tell you briefly, my father decided to discard a bunch of articles, a bunch being somewhere in the order of about 15 articles that were printed in Hawaii in the 1940s and the 1950s that my grandfather had written about some operation that could be performed to help in prosthetics. My grandfather was the head of orthopedics at the Shriners Hospital in Oahu. He used to travel to see the lepers in Molokai and set their bones straight. And, you know, quite a history. Now, reading that information is not as important as just having it for me, because it's a representation of my grandfather to me and a man that I knew until I was 12 and then he was gone. Right. So it's good to give your kids the opportunity to inherit things that may be past for you. But don't be afraid to let them go if nobody in the family wants them. We all have those dining room chairs, you know, the ones that were handed down as a means of conveying relationship from some ancient aunt who lived in Brooklyn many years before. And the only way we could pass down the memory was to pass the chairs. There were 8 chairs at the dining room table. Now every family across the country has 1 chair. And in the next generation, all the stories about Aunt Hilda and her antics climbing on the table and dancing at Thanksgiving will be lost, but we'll still have the chair, right? So it's time to let go of some things that don't matter, and it's time to take pictures of other things. It's time to take movies and tell the stories of Aunt Hilda so that we can pass that generationally to the next generation. Because inevitably, Aunt Hilda's great-granddaughter ends up being an actress and guess what? She's got the Aunt Hilda gene, and we know where it came from, right? How do I get rid of my stuff, not lose the memories? How do I decide in a moment whether I'm going to keep something or not? All of these things can be found in the Right Sizing Guide. Absolutely free if you call us today, right now, toll free, 800-900-9104. Again, that's 800-900-9104. That's our only number to the Eric Stewart Group. You can always go online and download a free copy as well at ericstewartgroup.com. Well, quick break and plenty to come.